Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for a motherfucking safe space. You can shove your opinions up your ass, that way the Trump and Furious cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget, my friends and my enemies, the ever-present, most likely, the third possibility, you are wrong and I am right. Go fuck yourselves. Good morning, children. It's not really morning. I guess technically it's morning. It's 1000 hours. I was just about to hit the record button when I hear the train going by. So it's like, yeah, let's wait for the train to come out. Let's wait. Let's wait for the cruise missile of the Great One's intellect to impact with statist motherfuckers. Howdy. All right, we're gonna jump back on the Allison Lee Share bandwagon. We got this. This is probably gonna take a whole episode, knowing me. And then we're gonna finish the book. Where's the book? Where's the book? There it is. Boy, are we off to a good start. I've been doing a little bit of house cleaning, organizing, working on getting rid of some shit. I have the pile of source material, and I went through it, organized it a little bit, and I'm gonna start working on it. I got shit in there from like back in 2010. What's my fucking recording level at? Okay, that's fine, it's good. So that's going to be interesting. I'm going to look these people up on the LinkedIn. We'll talk about it, kind of like Cappy and I did in our last podcast. That's going to be fun. Let's see. What else do I need? Let's see. What's going on? Weather. We're finally coming out of winter, possibly. It's going to be in the 50s today and sunny. Right now it's like 30 degrees outside still, but I'm going to get some podcasting knocked out so I can go the fuck outside today. I gotta work Thursday, gotta work Friday, Saturday and Sunday, I'm free, yes! Do some podcasting, do some outdoors, hopefully get the fuck out, because I think the weather is supposed to be, from here, next like 10 days or so, is 50s and 60s it looks like, in so much as we can believe weather forecasting. Get the fuck outside. Also, I am watching Star Trek First Contact, or at least some of it. In case you don't know or you don't remember, Star Trek First Contact, it's Next Generation Star Trek, and it's the one where the Borg go back in time to eliminate the human species before the human species becomes problematic to them. And the movie essentially goes in two paths. You've got the path up on the Enterprise, where Picard and Worf and Dr. Crusher are battling against the Borg. And then you've got the different storyline down on Earth, where Riker, Troy, and Geordi are dealing with stuff down there. And the shit that happens on Earth, I don't care about. The shit that's on the Enterprise, I remembered it being really good. And that's the part I'm watching. I'm fast-forwarding through the parts that don't take place on the Enterprise. And it is pretty damn good. No, I'm not going to tangent on that. Never mind. It's pretty good. I have to say, out of the Star Trek movies, none of which were that fucking good. Which is sad, because I am a Trekker. Not a Trekkie, but a Trekker. I love Star Trek. I love the original Star Trek. Next Generation, not a big fan of, honestly. But out of all the Star Trek movies, I think First Contact is probably the best one. And Jonathan Franks, I think that's his name, who plays Commander Riker, directed it. And he did a great fucking job. Because the biggest thing about First Contact is that it makes the Borg scary again. It's like making America great again, except you're making the Borg scary again. Except unlike Donald Trump, who said he was going to make America great and then didn't deliver, Jonathan didn't actually say he was going to make the Borg scary again. He just went and did it. Maybe he should run for president. Because in the TV series, in The Next Generation, the Borg had eventually sort of turned into this joke. Because they were scary, but not scary. And then it accumulated when they had their pet Borg, you, on the Enterprise. And it's like, oh my god, I remember that. It was painful. Next Generation did with the Borg what Doctor Who did with the Daleks. When the Daleks first appeared, they were frightening. But the thing is, if the Daleks are too powerful, you can't beat them, so they had to be dumbed down, where it turned into this parody of, oh, look, there's Daleks, we'll push them over, you know, we'll run up the stairs or whatever. And it became the same thing with the Borg. The Borg were a really terrifying concept, but if you let them be too powerful, then the Federation just gets overrun and you can't do any more Star Trek stories, right? Right. So they had to dumb them down and weaken them and all this other horseshit. And in First Contact, the scenes, the Borg taking over the Enterprise and everything and assimilating people is really fucking scary. It's like, ooh, you know, it's like, okay, the Borg, I'm actually afraid of the Borg now. All right, anyway, that's not what you came here for. That's, yeah, so weather, good weather. Oh, and then here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins, Colorado State University, it's spring break time, which means if you are a college student and you have a girlfriend, right now your girlfriend is somewhere getting pounded by two guys who probably don't even speak English. And as normal, I need a piece of paper to write down a note, and there's no fucking paper in sight, even though I have 7 clipboards floating around this fucking place. All right, put this on my list of things I must do today. Speaking of women getting DP'd by people, I gotta email some models for an upcoming photo shoot. All right. That's enough fucking around. Let's get this party started. This is from AllisonLeeShare.com. Allison Lee Share. Why I Study Millennials. Published by Allison Lee Share on February the 14th, 2019, because that's what she was doing on Valentine's Day, because, I mean, it's not like she has a boyfriend. All right. Then, under the photo of her next to her name as an author, we have another photo of her, and it says Allison Lee Share, author, in case you forgot that she's an author. Author Allison Lee Share talks about why she studies millennials and why it matters. Quote, the future is already here. It's just not evenly distributed, unquote, said William Gibson. And then there's a photo of Allison Lee Share, and underneath the photo it has her name, Allison Lee Share. Just in case you didn't know that here on AllisonLeeShare.com, where the title is Allison Lee Share, Why I Study Millennials, authored by Allison Lee Share, then with the picture where it says author Allison Lee Share talks about why she studies millennials and why it matters, then there's a picture of Allison Lee Share that says underneath it, Allison Lee Share, just in case you didn't know by now that Allison Lee Share. Yeah, and this is the woman who said that when millennials look at the world, they see themselves. Yes, they do. Even I have never managed. I mean, this is all above the fold. Her name appears 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Her name, because the name of the website is Allison Lee Share, right? The name of my website is not The Great One Himself, founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society, podcasting for 14 years on the internet since 1999, who is right, who is always right, who has never been wrong. Right. Her name appears 5 times above the fold, and her picture appears 3 times above the fold. Because when millennials look at the world, they see themselves. When the rest of us look at millennials, we see garbage.
The Great One?
Not all millennials are like... Yes, I know. I know. You're motherfucking... Not all millennials are like that. Namalat. Whatever the fuck. I know. Not all millennials are like that. Go fuck yourself. All right. And I have not read this. This is totally cold. I have not pre-read this. I don't need to pre-read it because I know it's going to be good. All right, here we go. The reason behind why I do what I do has stayed the same since I started writing my book. My book is one word. She didn't put a space between my and book. So she didn't proofread. Since I started writing my book 5 years ago. Took her 5 years to write the book. Okay. I study millennials because I'm lazy. No, I study millennials because I'm a narcissist. No. I study millennials because I don't have a boyfriend. No, I'm sorry. I study millennials because I'm a loser. All right, seriously. I study millennials because I have no real-world skills that will get me a job. All right, hold on. All right. I study millennials because I spend too much time wondering if the human race is doomed. I actually didn't make that one up. She studies millennials because she spends too much time wondering if the human race is doomed. Gosh, I don't know, diversity, tolerance, replacement of white people, the attacks on Western civilization, worthless college degrees, ever-expanding debt. Gosh, I wonder if the human race is doomed. And I wonder if pieces of shit like Alice and Lee Scheer have anything to do with that. I care about millennials because I care about climate change and politics and pioneering business as a platform to solve the world's biggest problems. I study millennials because I want to live my life being a part of the solution. Okay. She studies millennials because she wants to be part of the solution. How exactly is that part of the solution? Part of the solution would be... Well, look, we know the solution. The solution is turning off the welfare and not letting parasites vote. That is the solution. That's it. That is the end, and that is the beginning, that is the end, that is the solution. You know, on a tangent, because I was thinking about this the other day, and we got all these fuckers out there who say they want to save Western civilization and they care about the future like this stupid cunt and all this other stuff. Look, people, let's say you're on a boat, you're on a ship, you're on the USS Nimitz aircraft carrier, you're out there in the ocean, and you've been torpedoed. And your ship is sinking. You say, we want to stop the ship from sinking. Okay, there's two things you have to do to stop the ship from sinking. You have to seal the holes in the hull, and you have to bail out the water that's in the ship. Those are two things you must do. Everything else is irrelevant. Everything else is metaphorically and literally Hitler, literally Hitler. Everything else is metaphorically and literally rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. If your ship is sinking, whether it's the Nimitz, whether it's the Titanic, whether it's your canoe, you have to plug the hole and you have to bail out the water. Those are the two things you must do. If you do not do those two things, your ship will sink. Okay, if you care about the future, if you want to solve the world's biggest problems, which you can't solve the world's biggest problems until you solve your own problems. Okay, if you want to solve problems and fix things, there are two things here in the United States that must happen. They must. If you're not willing to do these two things, I need you to shut the fuck up and go home. You must turn off the welfare, all of the welfare, not the welfare you don't like, all the welfare, all the welfare, all of the welfare. Not just the single mothers. No, no, no. All the tax breaks for the corporations. All the welfare. All the thing where churches don't pay taxes. All the welfare. All the welfare. All of the welfare. The things where Instagram thoughts, you know, the hashtag thought audit, where Instagram thoughts don't pay income tax. All the welfare. All the welfare. All of the welfare must be turned off. And secondly, you cannot allow parasites to have political power. If you're not willing to do those two things, you just shut the fuck up. Everything else is, well, we're going to pass a law and so that women have to get permission from their daddy to get an abortion. Oh, you've done nothing. Well, we're going to pass a law and we're going to make carbon credits. Oh, go fucking masturbate someplace else. Oh, well, when Donald Trump gets elected, he's going to make America great again. Donald Trump can't even put Hillary Clinton in jail. My fucking God. The woman is a criminal. The woman's murdered how many people? You can't even get Hillary Clinton in jail. Oh, you're going to make America great again. Ooh, America. All right, let's get back to Allison Lee Scher. I study millennials because I want to live my life being part of the solution. No, sweetie, you're a parasite. Okay, you're the problem. You're not part of the solution. You're the problem. You are a parasite. I think there is still time for a miracle. Oh, we've moved beyond Obama's hope and change. Now we're into miracle territory. See, the great one doesn't believe in miracles. That's why I know that you can't save Western civilization. That's why you should just enjoy the decline. Because we, the royal we, collectively as a society, we are not going to turn off the welfare. We, the royal we, are not going to take political power away from the parasites. It's not going to happen. There will be no miracle. There will be no hope. There will be no change. There will be no miracle. Cynical? Sure. Realistic. Honest. Truthful. Factual. Fact. Fact. Trigger warning. Facts. 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 Not a fax machine. Facts. I think there is still time for a miracle if this cohort decides to truly take united action. And I see millennials as linchpin generation. That's what it says. This is an author. And I see millennials as linchpin generation. Yes. The change. There's our change. Okay, now we need it. We got miracle. We got change. I wonder if we're going to get any hope. Yes, the change that needs to happen to address our global crisis really is about everyone. No, your book is about how white people are oppressing you and the patriarchy is holding you down. It's not about everyone. It's very specifically about how you are a victim of white people who are not lazy and stupid like you are. However, there are many reasons why millennials are unique. Yes, there's nobody else like you. You're so unique. Remember, when millennials look at the world, they see themselves. There are many reasons why millennials are unique and why every company need to understand them. Not needs to understand them, why every company need to understand them. Let me get through this sentence. However, there are many reasons why millennials are unique and why every company need to understand them, comma, integrate our unique intelligence into your business model and create the internal cultural conditions that we need to thrive if you care about the future of the planet and the future of your company. Yeah, see, if you care about the future of the planet and the future of your company, you need to understand millennials and create the internal cultural conditions they need to thrive, otherwise known as safe spaces. Places that are devoid of opinions different than theirs. Places that are devoid of white people who aren't lazy. Places where they can come in and they can show up to work when they feel like. And they can, as we've learned from Allison Lee Scher, they can always put their personal life ahead of their professional life. Remember, these are people who, by her own admission, are always going to put their personal life ahead of their professional life. And that's why you, as the person who owns the company, you need to change your company to accommodate them. Let that sink in for a moment. You own a business. You need to alter your business, the way your business operates, in order to accommodate people who will, not sometimes, who will always. That's the phrase that Allison Lee Scher, author and consultant, has used repeatedly. Millennials will always put their personal life ahead of their professional life. Okay. Because by 2020, millennials will be 50% of the workforce. No, millennials might be 50% of the employed force, but the idea that they're doing any work is nonsensical. They are certainly not doing 50% of the work. Especially since most of the things millennials are doing, especially stupid millennial cunts like Allison Lee Scher, such as human resources and journalism and assistant vice provost at the college and assistant vice president of public relations for a nonprofit, none of these things are work. Oh, sure, they might be quote-unquote employed, they may be receiving a paycheck comprised mostly of money stolen from people who actually do generate value for other people, but they will not be 50% of the workforce. By 2020, millennials will be 50% of the workforce and 33% of the voting demographic, which goes back to why we have to take voting away from parasites. It goes back to why the right cannot win. It goes back to why Western civilization is over. It goes back to why you have to enjoy the decline. Seventy percent of us have plans to be entrepreneurs. Okay. Plans. Plans are right up there with hope. Okay, first of all, sure, I bet 70% of you do have plans to be entrepreneurs. But planning is not the same thing as doing, okay? I plan a lot of things. I have stacks of material for this podcast that I plan to do, okay? That's not reality. Planning. No, that's right up there with hope. 70% of us have plans to be entrepreneurs, so if you can't engage us at your company, we're likely to leave and start our own just to have the freedom to bring our ideas to the world. So in other words, if you can't find a job where your employer kisses your ass and lets you do what you want, when you want, how you want, because your personal life is more important than your professional life, then you're likely to go start your own company. Are you really now? So then, if all of you are so fucking miserable at work and nobody's kissing your asses, why aren't you starting all these companies? This would be some kind of interesting statistic to see. Is business owners, startups, sole proprietorships, however you could break it down by age. I imagine government, small business organizations have some data set within this realm. And if you're all going to run out and start your own businesses, why are you whining so much about how people need to change their business to accommodate you? Just go start your own business. The reason why millennials matter is because while we might not have the powerful positions in society because we're lazy, we do have the numbers to make a difference in society because, unfortunately, we're allowed to vote. A big one. Yeah, they do. They do have the numbers to make a difference. And that is terrifying. That is absolutely terrifying. And if you don't understand how to market to us, oh no, we know perfectly good and well how to sell things to you. Selling things to millennials, not difficult. All it has to do is appeal to your ego. I mean, this is a woman who wrote a book called The Millennial's Guide to Changing the World, a new generation's handbook to being yourself and living with purpose. Okay, this is how you sell things to millennials. You make it about them, because when millennials look at the world, all they see is themselves. It's real easy to sell things to millennials. You tell them it's green. You tell them that you've reduced your carbon footprint. You make an app for it. You put it on Snapchat. It's not that hard to manipulate low intelligence, lazy people into buying your product. And if you don't understand how to market to us, keep us employed at your company. Your company risk alienating the world's current largest consumer demographic and the next crop of human capital. All right, well, at least she recognizes what she and her generation are. You are consumers, and you are, we say human capital, you could call it what it really is, human cattle. You risk becoming obsolete in a market that demands innovation. There's no demand of innovation. Making a thinner iPhone is not innovation. There's been no innovation in years. No matter how large your current company has been able to scale, you need to know how to appeal to us. There is a lot that's misunderstood between generations, cultural clashes that develop because we all, what? There is a lot that's misunderstood between generations, comma, cultural clashes that develop because we all different priorities, comma, expectations, comma, learning styles, comma, ways of communicating, comma, appearance, comma, ways of thinking, comma, motivations, comma, working styles, comma, decision-making habits, comma, spheres of influence, comma, and areas in which we are personally invested, period. Honey, either use the Oxford comma or don't, but stop going back and forth between the use of the Oxford comma and the not use of the Oxford comma. That's an awfully long list. Oh, and right next to that list, because we haven't had one in a while, there's a picture. Guess who's in the picture? That's right. And underneath the picture, it says Allison Lee Scher. Just in case you didn't know by now that this unattractive woman with wrinkles starting to form, even though she's only 30-something years old, and the big nose, just in case you didn't know, this ugly wall hitter is Allison Lee Scher. It has her name underneath it so that you know it's Allison Lee Scher. Because here on AllisonLeeScher.com, in an article about Allison Lee Scher studying millennials, authored by Allison Lee Scher, you might not know that the picture of this wall-hitting broad is actually a picture of Allison Lee Scher. Because when Allison Lee Scher looks at the world, all she sees is herself. However, the issues that face humanity have to transcend all of this to solve. You mean the issues that face humanity? See, this is a writer. The issues that face humanity have to transcend all of this to solve, comma, and that means we have to find a way to work together in a way that will ensure that we'll have an earth, which is the earth is a proper noun, should be capitalized, that's inhabitable for generations to come. See, if you guys don't revamp your business to appeal to millennials, the earth will become uninhabitable. Millennials are the key to maintaining the habitability of the planet Earth. That's how important they are. Okay, the issues that face humanity have to transcend all of this to solve. See, that's not even a coherent thought. The issues have to transcend these problems to solve. Solve what? It's not the issues that have to transcend in order to solve. Humans have to transcend these issues in order to solve problems. That is one of the worst chunks of sentence I've ever read. When you parse that out, her stupidity is just so obvious. And now look, guys, some of you are saying, great one, it's on the internet. And I know, I understand. Okay, let me fucking explain this. You know, well, great one, you're ragging on her grammar and shit on this fucking website. You know, everybody makes grammar mistakes. Okay, look, if I go somewhere like, for example, pushingrubberdownhill.com. First of all, Adam's Australian, so we know he doesn't know proper English anyhow. But all fucking with Adam aside, Adam writes something every single day. Adam is churning stuff out. Not every single day. He misses a day now and then. But Adam writes on a regular basis. You look at someone like Royce, right? He writes every fucking day pretty much. He churns stuff out. When you're putting out that much stuff, you're going to have some typos. You don't have time to fucking proofread everything. All right? I get that. This, hold on, because let me get over here. It's her website. Come on, fuck. It's slow. It's the weather's getting nice outside. The winter, and it probably doesn't want to work either. Okay. Recent post. Here it is. On her website, she has two posts. Both of them published on February the 14th, 2019. Allison Lee Share, Why I Study Millennials, and Allison Lee Share Bio. That's her entire blog. Okay, if you're writing things every single day, and I can understand you don't have time to proofread, okay? You go through my shit, you're going to find plenty of fuck-ups in typos. I find them sometimes, and I'm looking at posts, go back and fix them. Okay, she's written two posts on her blog, on her website. Not two posts this month. Not two posts this week, not two posts this year. She has written two posts on her entire website. In the history of her website, there's two posts. If you're going to write a website and it's only going to have two posts on it, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, maybe two posts is all you need to get your message out. Okay, but if you're only going to have two posts, maybe you should fucking proofread it, especially if you're trying to sell yourself as a goddamned author. Maybe you should proofread your fucking sentences in order to parse them out and see if they make any sense to somebody who's not retarded like you are. People fear change because it's destabilizing. Says a woman who voted for Obama based on hope and change. However, everything in this world that successfully adapts for its own survival has to go through it. Anything that stays the same eventually starts dying. And that's what is currently happening within our current human system. We can learn to love the process of transformation, which is another way of saying we can learn to love the process of replacing white people with non-white people. It's not going to be comfortable at first. Executives, people at the top of organizations, so what it says, executives, plural, executives, people at the top of organizations who worked their lives to figure out how to make their companies prosper, doing business in the old paradigm, are going to have to open their minds to doing it with a millennial mindset that values sustainability and the triple bottom line. Once again, because other people must change the way they're doing things to appeal to the egocentric millennials. Because when millennials look at the world, all they see is themselves. So all of you out there who have been successful, who have done things successfully, you need to change what you're doing to appeal to millennials so that they will be willing to bless you with their presence in the workplace and they'll be willing to buy your shit. You know, here's the thing. Who am I? What the fuck was I? Someone was just talking about this. So I finished up. I had 111 episodes of The Dick Show and then some of The Biggest Problem in the Universe and Biggest Solution in the Universe all loaded up on a MP3 player. And I finally got through all of that. And now I'm getting caught back up again on the big three. Aaron Clary, The Clary Podcast, Adam Piggott, Pushing Rubber Podcast, and TJ Martinell, The Mountain Pass Podcast, which if you listen to me and you don't listen to those three podcasts, and I can't imagine that's even possible considering how much I talk about them, but if you do not listen to those three podcasts, those, as soon as you finish listening to me with my tangenting and rambling and screaming, those are the other three podcasts that you absolutely must listen to. One of them, I want to say it was TJ because it was fairly intelligent.
That's kind of a backhanded compliment to some people.
I was listening to a podcast and the guy was intelligent. It must have been TJ Martinell. Somebody was talking about boomers. I think it was TJ. Somebody was talking about boomers and how boomers are not training their replacements and they're salting. Oh, there goes my voice. Hang on one second. How boomers are not training and mentoring their replacements and salting the earth behind them and within the business environment. And I'm listening, I'm like, yeah, I think that's very true. At the same time, though, see, this is difficult. This is really difficult for me to I want to say pick a side, but I'd not pick a side, but to decide what makes the most sense. Okay, so when I look at the boomers and you see boomers, say, in the workplace, and they're not trying to teach people anything to come up through the ranks and fill in the holes. On one hand, yeah, the boomers are shitty and they're assholes. But to defend the boomers for a moment, number one, look at what they have to work with. Millennials. I know. I hear you. The great one, not all millennials are like that. Go fuck yourself. Okay, so first of all, look what they've got to work with. Shit like Allison Lee Share. And secondly, and this is the enjoy the decline part, why do they care? I mean, let's say, where are the boomers now? Are the boomers 70? I don't know. Let's say you're a 70-year-old guy in a workplace. Okay, you're at the top. You could be mentoring these people underneath you, or you can just take your money and go retire and die, and why do you care? Or if you're one of the boomers who doesn't have any money to retire on, maybe you're going to work until the day you die. Okay, but still, why do you care? Why should you care? Okay, I understand the point of the boomers salting the earth behind them, and also whoever it was, I think it was TJ, was saying that they're scared of competition. I completely agree with that. Sure, they don't want to mentor anybody because they don't want competition. I've been saying that about the workplace for ages. That is, in my mind, in my observations, in my experience, that's a very common aspect of the workplace in the United States of America. People don't want to encourage skills in their underlings because they're terrified of competition. And also, I'm not discounting that as a reason, but an additional reason is, why would you give a fuck? You're a boomer, you're 70, you're gonna die in 10, 20 years. I mean, why do you care? We're fucking mentoring these pieces of shit. Now, having said this, I still haven't done the podcast about her. We will. I will. I don't know where the fucking we came from. Well, me and Supergirl. The Supergirl shrine is right here behind me, where Supergirl is overlooking everything and overlooking her. Oh man, let's talk about my dreams. Anyway, we don't have time to go there. Me and Supergirl are gonna do a podcast about Yoga Pants Girl in the future, but I am essentially mentoring her. And I'm trying to teach her everything because, quite honestly, I'm not scared that she's going to take my job. In fact, I'd be very happy if she could do my job, and sometimes I could not go do my job. I could let her do it. Okay. So this, I understand that there is a fear from people that, oh, if I teach my underlings enough stuff, they're going to take my job. I totally get that. I personally don't really see that as a problem because there's not a lot of people who are as smart as I am. There's not a lot of people. I was just, can I say this and not be here? No, fuck it. No, let's just, there's not a lot of people that I have worked with. Let's narrow down the data set here. Of the people I have worked with at Weyland-Yutani, the number of them who have been competent and intelligent enough to take my job away from me has been very few and far between. Up to this point, it's been Ellen, who I told you guys about, and she couldn't do it because that's when we found out that she has these personality disorders that prevent her from interacting with other humans. But she had the intelligence. She definitely had the intelligence. She's very smart. A hard worker. And we got Yoga Pants Girl. She's not going to take my job because she doesn't want my job. She wants to be an event planner. But for doing the lighting stuff, she's not as good of a worker as Ellen was, but she's almost as intelligent. She is very clever. And we've had a couple of crises in some situations. She's shown herself, I can fucking talk, shown herself to be competent under pressure when things are going wrong. And she's like, well, okay, solutions. Well, what if we do this? Well, what if we do that? Well, what if we try? I'm like, that's a good idea. Let's go try that. We go try that. It works. Right? Other than that, everybody else who's worked at Weyland-Yutani has been too stupid for me to mentor. I'm trying to remember how I got here. Oh yeah, because executive peoples at the top of their organizations figure out how to work their companies, prosper, blah, 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 open their minds to doing with a millennial mindset, blah, blah, blah. Because it's the millennials who are going to inherit a scorched earth. Yes, yes, you are. So to wrap up the mentoring conversation, you can complain about the boomers not mentoring you, but you have to understand that, number one, most of you don't have any raw material worth mentoring. And number two, why should the boomers give a shit about you? Why? Why do they care? You're the ones who care. You're the ones who claim you're the future. Why don't you fucking millennials get off your ass and fucking do something? If you're so amazing, why do you need to be mentored? This is the same thing I say for the fucking feminists, right? And I've got in the pile. I was looking through the pile. I've got stuff on there. I love how women are like, well, men need to mentor us in the workplace. No, fuck you. Men who try to mentor you in the workplace are probably going to get accused of rape. Well, great one. Aren't you just said you're mentoring yoga pants girl? Yes, and I'm not stupid. She could accuse me of raping her any fucking day. I could get hashtag MeToo'd any moment. I could be getting hashtag MeToo'd right now, except that yoga pants girl is off on spring break getting DP'd by two guys who don't speak English. Okay? I am perfectly aware of this. But you also can't live your fucking life in a corner under a rock in the dark, okay? You have to go out and talk. Yes, girls can fucking accuse you of raping them, but you have to go out and talk to them anyway because girls are cute and they smell nice. And I'm not a fucking virgin toe. Aaron Cleary wrote a great post a while back. I know, Aaron Cleary wrote a great post, imagine that, about, I think it was titled something like, If Not Men, Then What? And he's talking about how the feminists have replaced men. And he's talking about the MGTOWs and the red pills. And he points out that many of the men who are red-pilled or whatever you want to call it, right? They, even though they've had bad experiences with women and they understand women and they have pergamy and all this other shit. And he phrases it much differently. I'm paraphrasing greatly. But his point was these men still don't sit around in denial that women are important to them. As feminists sit around in complete denial that men are important to them, which is why feminists end up ruining their lives and being unhappy. And how the fuck I got here, I don't know. I have no fucking idea why I'm talking about that. Girls are important. Hashtag me too. Yoga pants girl getting DP'd on spring break. Mentoring yoga pants girl. Boomers have no reason to mentor millennials. Millennials should go fuck themselves. Okay, millennials should go fuck themselves. All right, now we're back to Allison Lee Share. Got it. That's how I got there. It's like a train. It's like the train that somebody is running on yoga pants girl right now. Because it's the millennials who are going to inherit a scorched earth, trillions of dollars of federal debt, thanks Obama, no social security, and more other cumulative unintended consequences due to previous generations' actions. Yes, you are. And once again, no one feels sorry for you. If you're looking for sympathy, you are going about this in the completely wrong way. You're just the most obnoxious little shits ever. Yeah, you're going to get all of this, and it's great. And I love it. I'm so fucking happy. I couldn't be happier. And the millennials are going to have to be able to get uncomfortable, too. No. None of you are getting uncomfortable. It's like on South Park, getting gay with kids. And Cartman says, I ain't getting gay with any kids. No. Getting gay with kids is here to have some, and spread some cheer. Anyhow, and the millennials are going to have to be able to get uncomfortable too and learn from those who have built the current empire. Okay, you're not going to get uncomfortable because you need a safe space, and you're not going to learn because you're not capable of learning. You guys, you're in your 30s and you still live at home with your parents. You're not going to learn. There's not a lot of learning opportunity here. We have to act now and work with other generations inside of our institutions. We mean our institutions. You didn't do anything. You didn't build this. Isn't that what Obama said? You didn't build this? If we don't get over our internal emotional dilemmas. Your mental illness? Your fake mental illnesses? You don't even know if you're boys or girls, okay? You're not going to get over your internal emotional dilemmas. If we don't get over our internal emotional dilemmas enough to believe in ourselves, yes, because believing in yourselves is a real problem for you millennials who, when you look at the world, only see yourselves. If we don't get over our internal emotional dilemmas enough to believe in ourselves to take action, we'll never actually find the happiness and sense of purpose we've spent so long searching for. Oh, you've spent so long searching for happiness and purpose. And how'd you search for those? Well, you got to, you said, hey, I'm going to go ahead and hate white people. I'm going to hate men. I'm going to blame boomers for all of my problems. I'm going to go to college. I'm going to get a degree in journalism with a minor in ethnic studies. I'm searching for happiness and a sense of purpose. Oh my God. But it's going to require turning the out. What? This is a new sentence. But it's going to require turning the out-pictured enemy into our allies. The out-pictured enemy. I don't know what this means. I'm serious. When you have two posts on your fucking website, you need to proofread them. Especially when you're selling yourself as an author, consultant, and speaker. Because this isn't about millennials. This is about us doing what needs to be done. No, sweetie, you're not doing what needs to be done. You need to get a fucking job. You need to move out of your mom's basement. You need to shut the fuck up. You need to fucking recognize that you've hit the wall. You need to stop the welfare. You need to stop fucking parasites from voting. And at the bottom here, guess what we have? We have a picture of Allison Lee Scher. Next to it, it says, Allison Lee Scher is an in-demand author, consultant, and speaker. You can find out more about her book here and her unique consulting company here. And that's a wrap. All right, guys. There's gonna be one more podcast in this series, and then we're out.